So he says, because whenever people remember Allah, there are three types of people who remember Allah. One is who's doing it to get reward. Every tasbih is a plant in paradise, is a tree in paradise. That's their focus. Every tasbih is a plant in paradise, a tree in paradise. There's another group of people who are no longer worried about their trees. Right? They just leave that to Allah. I'm not going to plant any trees. I leave that to you, Allah. قِسْمٌ يَطْلُبُونَ الْحُضُورِ They're just seeking presence with Allah. I just want to be in your company. I just don't care about anything else. I'm leaving it to you. And وَقِسْمٌ وَصَلُوا وَرَفَعُوا السُّتُورِ I can't even explain that one. But he's saying that the third category are those who've already reached and many of the veils have been lifted. And that's what he says. Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'een. We go on to the next aphorism, which is on page 132. This one is two aphorisms before that one, which is 254, number 254. And in this one he says, مَا كَانَ ظَاهِرُ ذِكْرٍ إِلَّا عَنْ بَاطِنِ شُهُودٍ وَفِكْرٍ This is really, really profound because again, it tells us something really interesting and really reassuring, you can say. Very promising. The outer aspect of an invocation, meaning the outer form of a dhikr and remembrance that we do, would not be, could not come into existence save for the inner aspect of contemplation and meditation. In simple words, that there's no way you can remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unless there's a place in your heart for that. Unless it's something that you've thought about. Otherwise, why would it come out? The remembrance of Allah doesn't come out just like that. It's coming out because of something in your heart. We may not think so, right? We may not think that we're so close to Allah or that we're so in tune. But he's saying that there's no way you will remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unless it's from your heart. If you're remembering Him. If you're criticizing, if a violator is criticizing Allah, that's a different reason. But if you're remembering Allah, it has to be something in your heart. So, what exactly does that mean? Let's look at that in a bit more detail. Saying that when your apparent state, outer state, either tasbih, tongue, is mushtaghilan bi dhikrillah, is involved and occupied in the remembrance of Allah, that take that as a sign that the love of Allah exists inside you. Otherwise, why would you be doing it? There is an element of love. Of course, that love could grow and become deeper and stronger, no doubt. But there is an element of love in your heart for you to be able to take the name of Allah. إِذْ مَنْ أَحَبَّ شَيْئًا أَكْثَرَ مِنْ ذِكْرِهِ The only person that remembers things is the one who loves that thing. Right? So that whenever you love something, you're going to start mentioning that. Hey, look at my phone. Look at this. Look at that. You're going to constantly mention. You're going to bring it up on your tongue. Right? وَلَا تَكُلْ مُحَبَّ إِلَّا أَنْ ذَوْكٍ وَمَعْرِفَةٍ The only way to actually have mahabba is to have a longing for it, a desire for it, and a knowledge of that thing. The only way you can love something is if you know the qualities of that thing. And have a desire for those qualities. That's love, anyway. فَلَا يَكُونُ ظَاهِرُ ذِكْرٍ إِلَّا عَنْ بَاطِنِ شُهُودٍ So then he says that there's no way you can apparently, outwardly, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unless you've had some kind of witness inside. Witnessing inside of Allah. Right? أَيَّ شُهُودٍ كَانْ Whatever type of witnessing it was. Even though, وَإِنْ كَانَ لَا يَشْعُرْ بِشُهُودِهِ The person doesn't know that he's got that internal witnessing of Allah. You don't realize that. Because when we've made dhikr, we don't realize that we have an internal witnessing, do we? But there's no way that dhikr could have come out, even for 5 minutes or 2 minutes, unless we've got that inside. It goes into a bit more depth. I'm just going to explain it briefly, because it gets a bit more complicated and profound. He said, فَمَا ذَكَرَتِ الرُّوحَ حَتَّى فَنِيَتْ The ruh, the soul can only remember Allah after it annihilates itself of anything else. we have to destroy its connection to other things for it to remember Allah. Otherwise, it's just going to be constantly attached to something else and thinking about that. So there has to be a level of literally dismissing everything else for us to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In simple words, you could say. وَلَا فَنِيَتْ حَتَّى شَهِدَتْ. And as soon as you kill your ruh, when I say kill your ruh, I mean as soon as you let it die, its normal worldly connections, let that die, then you will remember Allah. Because otherwise you can't really. Because everything but Allah is world, is dunya. So if you get rid of the dunya, it has to be Allah, there's nothing else. You can't have just nothing. Right? This is what you call mani'atul khulu in mantiq. Which basically means that you have to have one or the other, right? Because you have to have Allah, and if you don't have Allah, then you have to have the dunya. What else are you going to have unless you're a dead person? It says that whenever it annihilates like that, then it witnesses Allah. So anybody then who has annihilated and doing the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that means that his ruh at some level has definitely witnessed the beauty of the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or it has actually contemplated it. He's been contemplating the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise, why would you? Why would you sit and say, Subhanallah, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, read the Quran? Why would you do that for? If you don't think that the one you're remembering is great, you must. That's the only way you're going to do it. It's the only reason you're going to do it. Or you're going to do it because you're thinking of Allah's reward. That's the lowest level. You know, when you think of reward or punishment. So you're going to think of that. But that's still Allah. It's still related to Allah. He's the one who's going to give you the reward or the punishment. So then he says that what conclusion you get from here is that if you have any kind of remembrance on your tongue, it's going to have to be born from some kind of witnessing of the heart. Right? And that is usually the state of normal murids or normal knowers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or it's going to come from a thought or contemplation, a consideration. That is the lesser level, which is when you're looking for reward. Hey, I want reward, that's why I'm doing it. Not because I just need to do it. The first ones were, I just can't help it, that's what I do. That is me. And they're both good. Obviously the first level is greater because you're not doing it for any selfish reason. Second one has a bit of selfish reason, you're doing it for reward. So that one, you're doing it because you're spurring yourself to do it by saying, 1 + 1 = 2. If I do this, then I get that. Whereas the first one, there's no equation. It is the state. It is that you're remembering Allah for the sake of Him. So he says, because whenever people remember Allah, there are three types of people who remember Allah. One is who's doing it to get reward. Every tasbih is a plant in paradise, is a tree in paradise. That's their focus. Every tasbih is a plant in paradise, a tree in paradise. There's another group of people who are no longer worried about their trees. Right? They just leave that to Allah. I'm not going to plant any trees, I leave that to you, Allah. قِسْمٌ يَطْلُبُونَ الْحُضُورِ. They're just seeking presence with Allah. I just want to be in your company. I just don't care about anything else. I'm leaving it to you. And وَقِسْمٌ وَصَلُوا وَرَفَعُوا السُّتُورِ. I can't even explain that one. But he's saying that the third category are those who've already reached and many of the veils have been lifted. And that's what he says. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the true understanding of that. And that's amazing, isn't it? To feel good that alhamdulillah we at least have some kind of association with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not just a tongue thing. So now there are so many people, believe me, who come and say, I don't get anything out of my prayer, so why should I pray? I used to have good conscious, good conscious thought in my prayer and reflection and concentration. I don't have that anymore. It's definitely something to be worried about, but that doesn't mean you stop doing it. I'm sitting for 10 minutes and, you know, a few months ago, I used to feel really good about it. Now I don't feel ecstasy when I do that. That's not your problem. Your problem is just remember Allah, man. If you ecstasy or no ecstasy, that's not for you to focus on. Your job is remembering of Allah. Now, this will tell you that you're remembering Allah, that means you got something in your heart. Otherwise, there's no way you would waste your time doing this. The only reason you're going to mention a certain phone is because you got it in your heart. Or a certain car you're going to mention, it's because it's in your heart. A certain person, it's in your heart, that's why. Why would you mention it otherwise? If it's not bothering you, or you're not enamored by it, or you're not contemplating it, why would you mention it? Unless you're just a random talker of anything, but then it's still in your heart to talk about it. So that is really beautiful to know that it's in our heart, alhamdulillah. So we thank Allah for that. It's just another thing to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. اللهم انت السلام ومنك السلام وتبارك يا ذا الجلال والاكرام اللهم يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث يا حنان يا منان لا اله الا انت سبحانك انا كنا من الظالمين جزا الله عنا محمد ما هو اهله اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى اهل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم يا غفار يا فتاح يا ستار يا حفيظ يا سلام يا لطيف يا ذا الجلال والاكرام يا الله have mercy on us and Allah accept us يا الله Ya Allah, we thank you for the bounties you have showered upon us, especially the bounty of remembrance, the bounty of being able to sit in the masjid, the bounty of remembering you and being remembered by you. Ya Allah, allow us to understand this and the significance of this and allow us to increase with this. Oh Allah, only you can grant it to us. This is absolute fadl and grace from you. We could never have done this had it not been for you. Oh Allah, reward our teachers, reward our shaykhs, O Allah, reward the Ibn Ata'illah al-Iskandari. And O Allah, reward all of our teachers up to the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Allah, for conveying the deen for us. O Allah, make us all of, in some way of shape or form, those who convey the deen further on. O Allah, accept us for the service of your deen. O Allah, make us part of this tradition. Oh Allah, accept our work, whatever little that we do. Oh Allah, you're the one who gives us the ability to do it in the first place. Oh Allah, now accept it from us. Oh Allah, protect us. Oh Allah, forgive us. Oh Allah, we do wrong, we make mistakes. Oh Allah, forgive us. Oh Allah, forgive us. Oh Allah, forgive us. Ya Allah, have mercy on us and all of those who assist. Oh Allah, all of those who attend, all of those who listen. Oh Allah, we ask that you accept us all. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifoon. والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين يا الله shower your mercy upon our brothers who are suffering in the different countries in the world, especially Gaza and Palestine. Ya Allah, grant them recovery, reform. Oh Allah, grant them and allow the whole world to see the truth as it is. And oh Allah, allow us to follow the truth and do the right thing for the truth and bring insaniyat back to the insan. Oh Allah, allow everybody to see the wrong as the wrong and to abstain from it and to distance themselves from it. Oh Allah, grant our brothers relief and freedom and their dignity. Grant them a much better reward and a better compensation for what they have lost, and grant them the sabr and patience, Ya Allah. And oh Allah, allow us to do that which is correct and beneficial and productive. Ya Allah, protect us from all evils and all forms of mischief and all forms of fitna which are out there. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun alal mursalin alhamdulillah. The point of a lecture is to encourage people to act, to get further, an inspiration, an encouragement, persuasion. The next step is to actually start learning seriously, to read books, to take on a subject of Islam and to understand all the subjects of Islam, at least at their basic level, so that we can become more aware of what our deen wants from us. And that's why we started Rayyan courses, so that you can actually take organized lectures on demand, whenever you have free time, especially, for example, the Islamic Essentials course that we have on there, the Islamic Essentials Certificate, which you take 20 short modules. And at the end of that, inshallah, you will have gotten the basics of most of the most important topics in Islam, and you'll feel a lot more confident. You don't have to leave lectures behind. You can continue to leave, to listen to lectures, but you need to have this more sustained study as well. Jazakallah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.